is going to share a song with us before the message. Ramona?
Welcome, just worship with me as I sing today. All of our strength is in Jesus, and this song is just about coming to the Lord in prayer, because we know that that is always where our strength has been and always will be. And so just worship with me as I sing this song.
Message if there is in that song, but there are problems that we can't change, and there's nothing we can do. We get on our knees, and God intervenes. God works miracles. We know that. We've seen it in history throughout our lives. We've seen that I'm going to dismiss the kids to go to Children's Church with Ramona. I pray that God will anoint her as she ministers the Word of God to them. Ramona spends time preparing to teach the children because this is our future, and this is what we need our children to have a foundation, and I thank God for those that give their lives to teach them. It's a very important ministry. I thank God for Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
I thank God for Jesus. Some people say, well, you can pray or you can talk, but just don't mention the name of Jesus. So today I want to talk about who is Jesus. Who is Jesus? And before I begin, I would like to just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the one that has given us life. You're the creator. All things that have been created are because of you and through you. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that speaks to us. I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. I thank you for that gift that gives us eternal life. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint me to say the words that you have given to me to say and anoint the hearts of the people to receive. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. Who is Jesus? When asked this question, who is Jesus? Some may answer that he was a prophet or that he was a good man, or some may say he was just a deceiver. We hear all of those expressions. Who is Jesus? Who is he? And I would like to go into that, but what do you say that he is? Who do you say that he is? That is the most important question of all time. My husband used to say all the time, you can answer many questions, but the question that really matters is, who is Jesus to you? And he was the one that Jesus asked his disciples. Jesus had them gathered together, and he said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, it says there, beginning with the 13th verse, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus asked them this question. So they said, well, some say you are John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist had been killed. He'd had his head cut off. He said, you're reincarnated. You are John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. And some say that you're one of the prophets or Jeremiah. And Jesus said, but I'm asking you the question, who do you say that I am? That is the question that we must ask ourselves. Who is it that Jesus is to us? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a very strong statement. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, in Simon Peter, when he said that, Jesus told Peter that this revelation was given to him by God, by the Holy Spirit. When we recognize who Jesus really is, it is a revelation from God. Many people have no idea that the entire Bible is about one person, about Jesus. The Old Testament, the New Testament, it's all about Jesus. It points to him and it directs us back to him. Everything in the Bible is about Jesus. It speaks of him from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. It tells us that he created all things. In John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to skip down, not because I want to skip, but I'm going to go down to verse 14. But he says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was the Word? It says the Word was in the beginning with God, and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then we go down to verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? It was Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one who was made flesh and came and dwelt among us. It says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible tells us that he is God the Son, eternally preexistent, before the incarnation, before he came to earth, he was God. And he is the image of the invisible God, according to Colossians, the first chapter, verse 15. He said, he, when we look at Jesus, he is the image, the reflection of who God is. He created a body for himself and became a man to suffer and die for the sin of the world. He was the Lamb of God, the very body he created. Then he came and lived in that body to become the Lamb of God that died for us. In John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 34, we read there, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why was he called the Lamb of God? Because there was, under the old covenant, a lamb had to be given, slaughtered, and the blood was spilled to cover the sins of the people. But Jesus came, and God says he is the eternal Lamb of God. There is no more slaughtering of lambs. Jesus is that lamb. He takes away the sin of the world. That's a lot of sin, isn't it? We look at some people, we say, how in the world could God forgive that sin? But God says, I take all of it. Jesus carries it all. And then he goes on, John goes on and says, this is the one I meant when I said, there's a man who comes after me, has surpassed me because he was before me. That's quite a statement. He said, he's above me because he was before me. And of course, Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins, but he said, I didn't. And then he said, I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. John did not even know that Jesus was that Lamb of God until it was revealed to him. And so the revelation of God reveals who Jesus is, and he will reveal it to us as well. But then John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. He said, I knew it by the word of God, by God telling me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. You see, John was baptizing in water. Jesus came, and we do baptize in water. Jesus himself was baptized in water. But he came to give the Holy Spirit, to baptize us with that gift of the Holy Spirit in us. And John says, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. That's who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? He is God's chosen one to take the sins of the world if we will just ask him. The Bible exalts Jesus. It calls him Lord more than 200 times, even just in the New Testament. And he is the one to whom all humanity will one day bow the knee. He is also called the Christ more than 500 times. Christ means Messiah or anointed one. It is not a name, but it is a description of that one. Jesus was the anointed one, anointed by God. And it is a title rather than a name. Jesus is called Son of Man more than 80 times because he was a man who felt pain. He experienced thirst and knew the torment of fear. He is called Son of God more than 40 times because he was God in human form, manifesting his authority over his creation. He was in charge. He had authority. He walked on water. He stilled the storms, he healed the diseases, and he conquered death. There has never been anyone like Jesus. No one has ever come close to being like Jesus. The only way we can be like him is to let him come and live in us, and then he manifests his glory through us. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 11. Paul wrote, he said, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid." And what is that foundation? He says, which is Jesus Christ. It is not the foundation of our life, cannot be based on our abilities, on our talents, on our education, our accomplishments, our wealth, our beauty, our good looks, whatever it is. Nothing else can we build our lives on except Jesus Christ. Everything else will be like sinking sand. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, I read about where Jesus had been sent to Pilate. He knew that he came to earth for one purpose. We celebrate many times, a lot of us, we celebrate that Jesus was born in a manger. He came as a babe. But he came for the purpose of taking our sins. And so he was brought before Pilate, and he had told his disciples that he would die and that he would be resurrected. So here he's sent to Pilate. And it says in the 27th chapter of Matthew, verse 19, it says, "While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying," now he was trying to judge, and the people were saying, "Crucify him," and he was sitting there. "His wife said, 'Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.'" She said, "Don't do anything. I'm telling you, keep your hands off. Do not do anything against him." But Pilate listens here, but the chief priests and elders, pay attention to who it is, the chief priests, the ones that were religious leaders, and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. They said, "We want him crucified." And when they were offered, "Take a choice," and they said, "Crucify Jesus." The governor answered, and that's Pilate, and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" That is a question that stands out vividly. What is it that I do with this one that is called the Christ? We answer that question every day in our lives. What do I do with Jesus? Do I let him be the Lord of my life? Do I accept him as the Savior that takes away my sins? Or do I reject him? They all said, when Pilate asked that question, said, "Let him be crucified." I think sometimes that we crucify him again and again by our behavior and the choices that we make. Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." Now, Pilate surrendered to the demands of the multitude. Many people are doing that today. What the multitude said, what the majority says, that's got to be it. And they say, "Well, I'm not responsible." We may be tempted to go along with the majority, but we are responsible for our choices. A statement or a public display cannot release us from the consequences of the choices we make. Pilate washed his hands and he said, "So you see, this is what frees me," but it didn't take away the guilt. I've read that history tells us that Pilate died trying to wash his hands. He lost his mental capacities, trying to wash away the guilt of the choice he made to let Jesus be crucified. We too can go along with the crowd and with what the world says today, that Jesus is just a figment of a myth. He's not reality. He's not really there. He's not really true. but he is exactly who God said that he was. The Bible is the Word of God, and everything in the Word of God points to Jesus. Washing your hands of Jesus Christ like Pilate did will not free you from the responsibility to obey and know the truth of Jesus' words. His words were, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:30-32. In Mark the 15th chapter verse 12, Pilate asks, "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Don't ever ask the world what you should do with Jesus. Don't question. Don't ask for advice. It tells you in the Word of God, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain if you choose to accept who Jesus is and what he has done for you. You may not understand all of the Word of God. It's always fresh and new. Ramona was telling me the other day, she said, "Mother, I've read this so many times here, this particular passage. And every time I read it, something new comes alive to me, and a new revelation." That's the way the Word of God is. It applies to our lives where we are right then. That's why when Moses said, "Who should I tell them who sent me?" And God said, "Say, I am." Because God is the I am for the situation, whatever you're facing at that particular time. And so we don't question to ask, "What shall I do with Jesus?" We must choose for ourselves. We are responsible. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21. Paul says, "He hath made him to be sin for us." God allowed Jesus. Now, God didn't force Jesus. It was decided before the creation ever came into being. It was decided that Jesus said, "I will go to earth, and I will pay the penalty." He knew that man could not live up to the holiness of God. God is a holy God, and we can never measure up. They could not even go close to his presence or his holiness until Jesus died on the cross. Remember when they even touched the Ark of the Covenant? That was the box that held the very precious things that God, that represented his holiness. The Ten Commandments were put in that box. The Aaron's rod that showed the authority of God. The manna that showed the provisions that God had given to them. They were all placed in that box. And even if they touched that box, they would be slain. They'd drop dead. Because God is a holy God, and we cannot come close to him except by one measure. When Jesus died on the cross, the place that, in the holy place, the most holy place, there was a veil that was stretched across that separated man from that place. And only once a year was the high priest to go in there. And before he went in, he had to purify himself. For 7 days, he had to purify, cleanse himself. And he wore a different garment that had never been worn any other place. And he went in. But when Jesus died to atone, to offer the sacrifice and ask God to cover the sins of the people, to forgive them of their sins, if he was not pure in his heart, he would be struck dead. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was his intent. He came and died so that we could come into the very presence of God. The veil that separated that holy place from any person going in was torn from the top to the bottom. God said, "I've ripped it apart. Now man can come before me, but because of the blood of Jesus that cleanses." Who is Jesus? He is the eternal sacrifice. He is the only way that we can approach and come to God. There are some meetings sometimes that they have in City Hall or wherever they are, and they say, "We cannot mention the name of Jesus. You can pray to your God," and some people say, "While I'm praying, you pray to your God. You pray to your God, your God." But that's not the way it is. Jesus is the only way to God. There is no other way. God gave a great sacrifice, the gift of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is our way to God. He represents God's holiness, and we can come to God. He is the one that goes before God and says, "Father, remember, I paid the price for that sin, no matter what it is. And so we have nothing to lose and everything to gain if we choose Jesus and what he has done for us. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, he hath made him to be sin for us. This one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way we can be made righteous is because of Jesus. What a great price he paid. How much he loved us. Oh, how he loves you and me. That he would endure such agony. The agony of the cross was not just the pain, the physical pain. It was the weight of sin that he took for us. All of the things that he took. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And it goes through and tells all of the things that he took on himself. What was it that he died from? He died because of our sins. And I think probably the most horrible part of all of that crucifixion was that God could not look upon him. To be separated from his Father. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He could not look on sin, your sin and my sin. And so when we give Jesus all that we are spiritually dead, and we're guilty sinners, every one of us. But when we give him what we are, he gives us all that he is. He gives us a resurrected life, forgiveness, righteousness, and acceptance. Some people try so hard to be accepted in our society today. We are accepted. Jesus loves you, and he loves me. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, says a very familiar passage, but Jeremiah said, God has plans for your life. He says, the Lord said to him, I know the plans I have for you. Some people think that they can make their plans and God doesn't care. God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Sometimes things happen in people's life and they say, why did God do this to me? Don't blame God. We make choices sometimes and causes rough places in our lives. But God says, I know the plans I have for you. They are not plans to hurt you, not to harm you. They're plans to give you a future and hope. If in this life you fail to accept Jesus as the Lord of your life and your Savior so that your sins can be forgiven, one day you will bow. If you do not bow down, now, in this life, the Bible says there's coming a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We need to recognize today who is Jesus. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We need to bow before him and exalt him as that, because one day we will all bow, but then that will be at the judgment day. We need to accept him now as Lord of our lives. Does that mean that we have to be perfect? No, it means that he takes us just as we are. There's an old song that says, just as I am, without one plea, without anything except that the blood of Jesus was shed for me. That's the only thing I could say. I can come to you, Lord Jesus. I don't understand. I have had people come to me and say, you don't understand the kind of sin that I've been involved with and how horrible it is. God could never forgive me. Don't sell the blood of Jesus, the price that God paid, short. That gift will cover every sin, every transgression. All we have to do is ask him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you will be saved. Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 11. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. Who is Jesus? I ask you again that question, the title of my message, who is Jesus? Well, I'll tell you who is it. He is 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 6. He wrote, "I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Jesus is that precious stone, that cornerstone upon which you can build your life, and you will not be ashamed. You will not be put to shame if you build your life upon Jesus Christ. He is the precious stone. And so I ask you today, if you are watching this telecast, and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you would like to do that, all you have to do is to confess that he is Lord and ask him to come into your life. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. If you would like to pray with me this prayer, I will pray and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer told Paul and Silas, he asked them, "How do I be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." So that's all you have to do is believe and let him be the Lord of your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you truly are the precious cornerstone. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, wash me of every sin, cleanse me, and make me your child. I believe that you are the only way to God, and I know that I want to be in your presence someday, O God. I want to go by way of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed me today and made me one of your own. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church. Let us know if you have been blessed. We'd love to hear your comments. God bless you. May you have a glorious and blessed week. I know that there may be somebody here today. Maybe many of you know everything that I said today in this message, and some of you may not know much of it, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, please do it. Don't put it off. Don't make it say later, another time. We never know when our time is. The Bible says very clearly it's appointed unto man once to die. It doesn't say when. It may be when, you know, I have stood at the graveside of people that are 10 years old. They didn't know, but we need to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. He has a plan, a future for every one of us. So I just ask you today, if there's somebody who wants prayer, we are here to pray with you and for you.